Lamentations chapter 3 at verse 22 reminds us that his blessings, his compassions are new every morning. And it's for that reason that our worship period this morning is refreshing to us. God's blessings, his compassions are not warmed over from a week ago. They're brand new this morning. And for that reason, we come together with a fresh sense of renewal as we praise him in song, as we remember at the table, as we focus upon his word, and as we enjoy a period of fellowship with God in this time of praise and worship. We're thankful that you're here. Some of our people have been gone for a week, but they have returned. Some others are leaving today or tomorrow for a week. That's the way it is when there's a school break, and we understand that. But we hope that all of you will be safe in your travels and will be back with us as soon as possible. We're glad for our visitors today. I met some of them this morning, and we hope that you'll have safe travels wherever you go. And we're delighted that you dropped by to be with us in this time of worship today. If you would, please take the holy, inspired, inerrant, authoritative, indestructible scriptures and open with me to chapter 42 of the book of Psalms. Every now I enjoy kind of using those adjectives because I want people to know of the high view that I have toward the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God makes all the difference in the world. And while you're turning to Psalm 42, I want you to put your ribbon there because we're going to be working in that chapter this morning. I want to ask you a few questions as we get into our lesson. Do you ever get down? I mean by that, do you ever get down in despair and discouragement and depression? If you're human, you do. There are all kinds of things that causes that. Things, for example, like family disturbances, upheavals in the church, problems at work, conditions in the world, conditions in our government, a lot of things can cause us to be depressed. Now, as we look at this psalm, Psalm 42, keep in mind it was written by David at a time in his life when there was a great deal of turmoil and trouble. And I believe that God put it in his word, God put it down here, and preserved it for us, so that when we get down, we'll find a source to which we can turn to lift us and encourage us. The heartbeat of this psalm is found in verse 5. Look at the question that David asked. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? David here is talking about his own depression. Do you ever get down in the dumps? Do you ever get depressed? Again, I say, if you're human, you will have those periods in your life. So here David is at a time of depression. Somebody has said that the seven stages of man are these: spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. That pretty well describes how it is as we go through life. And I don't know where you are in those stages, but I know in the last half of those stages, it is easy for us to get down at times in our lives. The National Institute of Mental Health has said that depression is a multi-billion dollar a year industry. That is, people are spending billions of dollars dealing with depression. More than 8 million Americans are so depressed that they're seeing a physician or they cannot go to work. They cannot be productive. Depression is a real problem. We get down and out. We feel listless. We feel simply passive and sad. It can get so bad that we feel like there's nothing in life to feel good about. We feel hopelessness. We're overridden with anxiety and worry. We may get to the point that we feel that nobody cares. We could get to the point that we feel that nobody, even if they care, understands. And when a person feels that way, it does no good for us to come up to them and pat them on the shoulder and say, "Cheer up." That can make them even feel worse, because if they could cheer up, they would. They try to cheer up. Thank God there's help. And I believe a lot of that help is spotlighted right here in this particular psalm. After all, the Bible tells us how to get up when we're down, and it needs to. It needs to, because not only the unsaved are depressed at times, but even God's people. Yes, even God's people can get down in the dumps. Let me remind you of some of God's great, great characters in the Bible. There's that Moses, that mountain of a man who got so depressed that he asked God to take his life. Then there is that great prophet Elijah. The voice of this great prophet kept alive the worship of God in a dark day in Israel. And once he got so down that he sat under a juniper tree and simply requested to die. In other words, he said, "I've had it up to here." Then there is that Jeremiah, the great prophet, the one who is distinguished in the Old Testament as the prophet of tears. This is the prophet that is called the weeping prophet. He wept over God's people. They were on the very precipice of destruction. They were about to be taken away. And the prophet here is calling on them to repent. And he got so down, so depressed, that he wept day and night. Then there is that great giant of faith in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Now, based upon the things that we have read from Paul, would you ever think that he would get down in the dumps? And yet he came to one point in his life where he said that he despaired for his life. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you see all the things he had experienced as a preacher of the gospel, as a servant of the Lord, you can see why at times he despaired. And then there is that John the Baptist who introduced our Lord Jesus, who baptized him, who said that he must increase, but I must decrease. This John, when he was in prison, got so down that he sent emissaries to Jesus to ask him, "Are you really the Messiah?" He had already introduced him, and now he's wondering. He's in doubt. He's in despair. But then I thought about some of our great leaders that we've known in the world. There was that great voice in Great Britain, Winston Churchill, the one who said, "Never, never, never give up." The voice that kept the people of Great Britain aware and alert during the dark days of World War II. And yet, what many don't know is the fact that Winston Churchill was often so greatly depressed that he called it a black dog that followed him around. Then I read about great preachers like Charles Spurgeon in London, England, one who filled up a building with 10,000 people on Sunday morning. And then I think about Martin Luther, who had bouts of moodiness and depression. And these are great leaders in the Reformation. Then I thought about some of the great restorers in our nation. Men who began to say, "Let's get back to the Bible." Back in the late 1700s, the early 1800s, when there was a great revival sweeping our nation, I think about Walter Scott, who was the great evangelist on the Western Reserve in Ohio. I think about Raccoon John Smith up in Kentucky. I think about Moses Laird in Missouri, and various other ones were given to times of moodiness and depression. And then there is this David that we're talking about here in this chapter, the man after God's own heart, Israel's greatest king, the sweet singer of Israel. Yet he came to the place where he said, "Why are you disquieted in my soul?" He's down. He's depressed. Now, there are two things in this great passage that I want to emphasize this morning, and I hope that we'll all be helped by this lesson from the Lord. First of all, the problem of depression can easily be seen in the life of David. David had a lot of problems. He had a lot of turmoil in his family. A lot of that grew out of some of his conduct, as you know. David went through, and I think that's seen here in this chapter, three periods in his life. Number one, there was a period of what we might call, for the want of a better term, spiritual dryness. There was a period of spiritual dryness. Look at 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. And I appreciate that song this morning and the reading of this great chapter. "As the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now, what's the background here? David is in a time of turmoil. He had a lot of enemies, and he was being hunted like a wild animal, like a wild deer, running over the mountains and over the hills. And like that wild deer being chased, he's thirsty, thirsty for God, consumed with thirst. And he says, "God, like that wild deer, my heart pants for thee." He felt his soul had shriveled up. He was thirsty for God. Have you ever had a period in your life when there was spiritual dryness? Just seems that your spiritual life had dried up. He'd come to feel that God had forgotten him. Look at verse 9. Look at that. "I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me?" A depressed person often feels that way. You tell them to pray, and they say, "Well, God seems so far away from me. I want God. I want fellowship with God. I need God. But where are you, God? Where are you? Why don't you hear my prayers?" Have you ever felt that way? You pray and your prayers seem dry. Just seems that God does not hear anymore. But not only was there spiritual dryness in David, there was also emotional depression. Look at 3 and 4. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God?" Now here's David crying a lot. And his enemies are chiding him. "Where is your God?" Now, it's quite obvious to me that David had lots and lots of problems. Most Bible scholars believe that the background of this particular chapter was the occasion when Absalom, his son, had rebelled against him. You remember that story. Absalom was a handsome, fine-looking, popular young man. And he sought to steal the kingdom from his father. So he got a band of men to follow him. David here is fleeing for his life. And what compounds all of this is the fact that he's fleeing from his own son. David's throne is now in jeopardy. He's got lots and lots of problems up to his neck in turmoil. His power and his prestige is gone. And everything looked bleak for him. And then ultimately, you remember the end of the story, when Joab, David's trusted captain, pursued Absalom, and he had all of this hair, and it got locked up in the branches of an oak, and Joab thrust him through with a sword. When the news came to David, what did he say? Was he glad? Certainly not. His heart was broken. He said, Oh Absalom, my son, would God I had died for you. Everything is ganged up upon David. His little baby died. His daughter and his wife had been assaulted. Another son died. His kingdom is in turmoil, and there's shame. Times are dark. They're bleak. He doesn't know what to do. You can understand why he's so depressed. And he remembered the former times here in this psalm. And he speaks of the time when he went to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. But that wasn't the situation right here. So David is sad. So there was a time of spiritual dryness, a time of emotional depression, but it was compounded by physical distress. David was apparently suffering physical debilitation at this time. Look at verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. What's he talking about? You know, Jordan in the Bible is not only a real river, the best known river in all of Israel, but Jordan in the scriptures become a symbol and an emblem of death. It's the river of judgment. As a matter of fact, the word Jordan means judgment. Mount Hermon up there in the north was the source of the Jordan. The waterfall made its way down from the mountain, all the way down to the Sea of Galilee. And then from the Sea of Galilee, there's an outlet, and it continues onward to the Dead Sea, where it is just simply ends in that salt sea. Well, David is talking about impending death here. All the waves and billows are gone over me. I'm immersed, he's saying, in the chilly prospect of death. He's fleeing for his life. Now, such physical debilitation often can cause that depression. So here's a man of God. Wouldn't you say, David, a man of God, with spiritual dryness, with emotional disturbance, and physical debilitation? No wonder he is in despair. Now, depression is the problem, but here's what I want to look at for a few moments. The provision that God gives for one's depression. Let's see what David said in this psalm. Let's see what he did when he had a talk with himself. You ever talk to yourself? Ever talk to yourself? Look at verse 5. He's talking to himself now. Why are you cast down, O my soul? David decided to have a talk with his soul. Why are you disquieted within me? Listen, often we need to have a good talk with ourselves. A good talk with ourselves. One man said his wife went around the house all the time talking. He said, well, are you listening to her? Does she know that she's doing that? And he said, no, she thinks that I'm listening to her. You see, that's what happens often. Your soul is constantly talking to you, telling you about your problems. We sort of complain and we whine and we sort of panic. David decided he was going to have a talk with himself. There are three things, I believe, in this text that David reminded his soul about. Three things that he talked to his psyche about. Let's look at those. For here is the provision. There's one thing to get down. It's another thing to stay down. It's one thing to be depressed. It's something else to stay that way. Let's look at three things that helped David get back up again. First of all, he reminded his soul that his fellowship was in God. Isn't that word fellowship a beautiful word? It has so much spiritual meaning. As Christian people, we're in fellowship with God. It's a wonderful thing that by His grace, He has permitted us to have fellowship with Him. We were reconciled to Him when we became Christians. So here David reminds his soul that his fellowship is in God. Look at verse 5. Hope in God. Look at verse 6. I will remember Him. Look again at verse 5. I shall yet praise Him. Look at verse 8. His loving kindness in the daytime. Verse 8. At night His song shall be with me. Here's a prayer to the God of my life. A depressed person often feels that nobody cares, nobody understands, but listen, God cares. It was important for David to remind his soul, God cares about my turmoil. God cares about my troubles. My fellowship is with Him. We need to remember that the God who runs this universe cares about you. He knows where you live. He knows exactly what you're putting up with. Here's a good verse to put right here in the margin of Psalm 42. It's Psalm 47, verse 3. Listen. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's the God we serve. He is the cure for our distress. He is the cure for our depression. By the way, He counts the number of the hairs of your head. He counts the number of the stars. On a beautiful autumn evening, when it's very clear, look up sometime and just look at the multiplied millions of stars. God knows every one of them by name. After all, He is the one who scooped out the seas. He is the one who heaped up the mountains. He is the one who flung out the sun, the moon, and the stars. He is the one that knows every star by name. The God who wants to heal the brokenhearted. That's the God that we serve. By the way, He even notices when a little sparrow falls to the earth, Jesus said. So the one who attends the funeral of a sparrow will certainly care for you. When you're down, distressed, brokenhearted, God knows, God understands, God heals the brokenhearted. Dr. Abraham Maslow has said something interesting, and I thought it was rather shocking. He said that the average American does not have one real friend in the world. But then I thought, what a friend we have in Jesus. The one who loved us, who died for us, who lives for us, our intercessor, our friend, our advocate, our great high priest. He loves us and He cares for us. So when you are down, when I'm down, we need to take our soul by the nape of the neck, if you please, and have a good talk with it. Our fellowship is in God. Number two. Not only our fellowship is in God, our foundation is in God. Look at verse 9. I will say to God, my rock. He's our Gibraltar. He's our rock. I will say to my rock, God is my foundation. God is my... You know, we're weak, we're unstable, and it's easy for us to be blown around quite a bit. But God is not blown around. He is the solid rock on which we can stand. He is the sure anchor to which we can be tied. You know, you can't fight when you don't have a place to stand. And we have a place to stand, and that's our rock, our foundation, our Savior. In our troubles, we have no place to stand except our relationship with God. We may tremble on the rock, but my friends, the rock itself underneath us is steadfast and sure. Find your fellowship and your foundation in God. In this life, in this world, anything can be threatened. For example, your job can be threatened. Your job could move away. Your job could downsize. And suddenly you're left without a job. Your family can be threatened. Your health can be threatened. Your wealth can be threatened. Understand that people who live in hurricane areas, smitten areas, know what to do. At least they have some time to prepare for the hurricane. What do? They board up the windows. They bring in everything that could be blown away. And what's left is tied down to something. But often when they return, they find that everything is destroyed because things that they tied it to were also taken away. You know, in this life, when the winds come and the storms blow, we need to have a life that's tied to something that cannot be threatened. And that something, my friend, is God. He is our hope. He is our fellowship. He is our foundation. Now, here's a third thing. David reminded his soul that his future was in God. Look at verse 11. Why is my soul disquieted in me? Hope. Hope speaks of our future. Hope in God. Hope is our certainty. It is our desire. It is our expectation. And in spite of how dark the times are, how troublesome they are, in spite of what the problem is, in spite of what the doctor says, in spite of what the banker says, what the teacher says, what the economist says, hope in God. We often need to have a talk with our souls. And when trouble and depression and despair overwhelm us, like David is speaking here in this psalm, remember, your fellowship is with God. He knows, He understands. Your foundation is in God. He cannot be moved. He cannot be intimidated. Your future is in God. I will yet praise Him, David concluded in this great chapter. How to get up when we're down. You know, it's so important that we have a life that is anchored. Our anchor is Christ. He is our refuge and He is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Question is today, do you have that anchor? Have you tied your life to something that cannot be moved? If not, you can be. Every Christian who is here today, you've tied your life to something that's important, something that will stand. Paul said to Timothy, the foundation of God stands, 2 Timothy 2:19. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. That doesn't mean that you won't have problems. You won't have troubles. You won't have turmoils. But it does mean that your life is anchored to something in which you can find fellowship, a solid foundation, and a sure future. What's more important than that? Can we help you today? If you need to obey the gospel, come in faith, come in repentance, come in obedience, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've wandered in negligence, come back to the Lord. He's your foundation, your fellowship, and your hope. As we stand together,